Great to have you with us this morning. Scotty's texted through a number of times, wants to know what channel the golf's on. It's on 607. It's on CNN, Scotty. So you can get a hold of Tiger and Peyton Manning taking on Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady. Hey, Ramona Shelburne, senior writer for ESPN.com, one of the most authoritative voices on NBA, has been good enough to join us. We're delighted to have her on SEN Breakfast. Good morning to you, Ramona.
How's it going?
We're going well down here. We're excited. A couple of our major football codes are about to recommence. So we're going to get some live support to be able to go and have a look at. And the NBA is massive in Australia, and a lot of our listeners want to know when that's going to recommence. So we thought we'd go to the top and find out what you could tell us.
Yeah, well, you know, it looks like we're going to be heading to Orlando, Florida, at the Wide World of Disney Complex, which, you know, I know that it sounds funny to go to Disney World, right? But it really is like a whole complex that's, I think it's like 228 acres. Like, it's like a giant resort. And there's a lot of hotels on the property. There's like three arenas. So you can do a pretty good job of sequestering the players and team staffers and stuff during that time. But it's there's a long way between right now and when we're going to play, right? It's the end of May here. I don't think we're going to really... We're not really even looking at anything until the end of July, because we need some time to work out how testing is going to work, to get the players back into camps, to do like a 3 or 4 week training camp. Then you got to get everybody to Orlando. And we still haven't figured out how many teams are going to play. Are they going to finish the regular season? Are they going to go straight to the, are they going to go straight to the playoffs? Like, there's still a lot to be worked out. And so it's, you know, if it happens, it's looking like it's going to be Orlando, but this seems like the best plan right now. But there's just a lot of hurdles they still have to clear here.
We can empathise, given that we've been through this here and debating long and hard about whether our clubs go into quarantine hubs and how and our mm-hmm. various states have got different rules about, you know, 14-day isolation periods and the like. So trying to find some common ground is hard enough here. I'd imagine it would be a nightmare over there with so many teams.
Yeah, and I think some of it, honestly, is the safest way to do it is have a quarantine hub, right? You don't have travel, you don't have people going to and from, you know, even if you're flying on, they fly a Delta charter, you know, they fly privately, but even with that, it's challenging, right? You know, they're to and from transport, you know, the hotels, and, you know, people are interacting with people on their daily basis. So but quarantine is quite a sacrifice, right? Quarantine is a sacrifice in terms of being away from your family for a number of months. So I think that was, there's some the hurdles they had to clear. Plus, there's also how you're going to enforce the quarantine, right? Nobody wants to have be surveilled, right? They don't want to have ankle bracelets or cameras or people watching them like they're not in jail, you know? Yeah. And so I think that's a lot of the concern. But I think they're hoping that if you have enough testing, like if you have daily testing and temperature checks, if somebody tested positive, it wouldn't necessarily mean that you have to shut down the whole thing again, you know, stop and start and shut down over and over and over again. They're hoping that works out that way. So I think, you know, they have enough testing in place, right? It's going to cost a lot of money per person, and it's going to be something the NBA has to pay for, right? It's not, that's certainly not what you do with public health officials here, right? You know, our testing has gotten more in line, you know, after a really, really slow start. It's not as hard to get tested. Like, I live in Los Angeles. I can go make an appointment, go get tested, even if I'm asymptomatic now. There was a long time where you couldn't do that. There were several months where you couldn't do that. And so we've sort of cleared that hurdle. Now the next hurdle is all the rules and regulations that are going to be in place, all the details, and that's going to be tough. But I think the reason why we're in this place is the NBA, more than almost any other league, has a really good relationship between the commissioner, Adam Silver, and the players. They have a level of trust and respect, whereas I don't think you would say that with baseball or football here, with Roger Goodell in the NFL and Rob Manfred in baseball. And so the negotiations are sort of one-to-one. I mean, it's Chris Paul, head of the players union, and Adam Silver, and they just talk. Like, they have a level of trust with them, whereas I don't think you see that in football or baseball.
We're talking to Ramona Shelburne, senior NBA writer, ESPN in LA. Ramona, the game itself, though, will they complete the regular season, or will they go straight into the playoffs, or is that unknown at this stage?
Yeah, it's unknown. I mean, look, if I was guessing, I think we're going to play about 5 to 7 regular season games each. But just because of the local TV contracts, like, people need to get to 70 games to fulfill their contracts. But there's also the safety issue with that, which is, I think a lot of the teams that are kind of out of it, that are lottery teams, they don't necessarily want to come back. They would much rather just, you know, call it a season and move on, right? Plus, every team that you have go into the quarantine bubble is another, you know, 35 people that you got to keep safe. So, you know, it's much safer to have 16 teams where after each round of playoffs, somebody gets people go home and you're having less and less people there. Much safer to do that than to bring 30 teams, right? It's almost double the amount of people to have the playoffs, right? And, you know, and I don't know how important these regular season games are even going to feel at this point. There's been talk of maybe you'd have like a play-in tournament, like the team 7 to 12 would have a initial tournament, you know, to see who gets the last couple of seeds. But how is that fair? Like, if you're in 7th and 8th place right now, why would you want to give the team that's in 12th place a chance? I wouldn't, right? So I think it's going to be a question of sort of money versus safety. My guess is safety will win out on this one.
One of the problems we've had here is that because the different states here in Australia have different rules governing what's taking place at the moment, the borders have been closed for some states, not other states, and that's been a complex issue that we've had to negotiate here in Australia for the recommencement of the AFL season. What's Florida's rules around border restrictions at the moment? Are people free to come and go from Florida as they like?
Yeah, pretty much. And it was interesting. I thought that was going to be a much bigger challenge here in the States just even a couple of weeks ago, because states like California, New York, New Jersey, states where you have particularly dense population centers, and especially New York, New Jersey, that have been very hard hit by the coronavirus. That's where the majority of cases and deaths have been in those couple of states. But, you know, I was like, wow, it's going to be a long time before those states open up. And the governors there, of course, you know, Gavin Newsom is our governor in California. Andrew Cuomo is the governor in New York. I mean, they were a very hard line in terms of, like, you know, we're not opening up, we're keeping everything closed. This is a long time. And, you know, Gavin Newsom even just a couple of weeks ago made a remark like, you know, I don't know why, you know, we would even have pro sports in August. Like, he was that far out saying, you know, don't expect to see the stadiums full in August. Come on. Well, they actually both reversed course just this past week. They came out with press conference saying these states are going to be open for professional sports. And it's part of the reopening that's happening here in the States, which is a bit of a controversy here. A lot of people think it's too early and we're opening up too soon. Like there's not enough evidence to open back up the way that we are in certain places, but it's the toll it's taken on the economy has been particularly brutal that I think people are sort of willing to risk it. That's become less of an issue, right? It's just, you know, I think the Florida issue initially was because Florida was one of the first states to open up. That's where we held the UFC fight the other day. They were welcoming of pro sports. Anybody wants to go there. But I think it's less about that now and more about just that Disney World offers a really good sort of campus-like environment in which players and everybody can quarantine.
As is most cases with elite sport, it's the superstars that can tend to dictate the thinking of the vast majority. So what's the attitudes of, you know, the LeBron Jameses of the world and the James Hardens? Are they all, you know, full-on, let's get us back as soon as we can, or is there still some degree of caution?
Well, it's interesting you ask, because I really think that's one of the main reasons where there's some momentum towards trying to restart the season, which is that, you know, LeBron James is on the best team in the league, you know, one of the two best, right? Two or three best between the Milwaukee Bucks and the Clippers and the Lakers. Those are the three best teams. And he really wants to play. There was a call that he organized with Chris Paul and a bunch of the other star players in this league. Kawhi Leonard was on the call. Giannis Antetokounmpo was on the call. They got, you know, I think it was about a dozen star players. They were all on this, talking about how we all need to get on the same page to get everybody in line to restart. And I think that's given great momentum to the league restarting here, because there was some trepidation. You know, I know Joe Ingles, you guys are probably familiar with him, right? Yep. He had a sort of quote a couple months ago, like, I'd just move back to Australia if they make me play. He's sort of softened on that. He came out with a tweet sort of correcting the record because saying that was an old quote. But I think that there was a lot of players who had some trepidation, not just about the safety, but about just going into a bubble for a couple of months. But, you know, they've come around. And I think there's going to be, you know, a lot of discussions about, you know, how much money they're going to lose this year. There's a lot of discussions about next year. I think people are in some ways more concerned about next year than this year, just because, you know, this year they'd already played a significant portion of the season. Next year, you know, especially if there's a second wave in the fall, like that could be quite troublesome, you know, for the league's finances and the league, because you wouldn't have even started yet.
Ramona, are they currently being paid? What's their payment situation right now, the NBA player?
Yeah, the NBA, the players are being paid, but they agreed to withhold 25% of their paychecks, just starting with that last paycheck they just got on May 15th. So I guess that maybe there's been a May 15th paycheck, and there'll be another one probably June 1st. And each one of those is withholding 25% of their paycheck. And it goes into what's called an escrow account. I don't know if you guys have the same kind of thing over in Australia, but it's basically like taking out 25%, and we'll put it right there, and then we'll see how much money we make back up. So if the season's canceled, they may not get any of that back. But if they're able to play some of it and recoup some of the revenue that they were losing, then they'll get some of the 25% back. But, you know, you do start to feel it. I mean, 25% is not nothing, right? That's a quarter of your salary. Now, some players, like LeBron James, they actually have it written into their contracts where they get paid their entire salary up front. So some of them are feeling it, some of them are not. Some of them get their full salary for the whole year, and it's almost like an IOU, right? Like, so if they're not able to restart and they figure out what they're going to end up owing, they'll have to sort of pay it back, or maybe they can make an arrangement with their future salary, you know, on next year's deal. But I think people recognize it's not really just about this year. What they do this year sets the tone for how they're going to handle playing in the future, because there's this dawning recognition, maybe on all of us in the world, that, you know, we're going to be dealing with this for a while. Like, this is a world where the virus exists. And unless we get a vaccine or some real treatment options, like, we have to wrap our heads around, you know, how do we mitigate the risk rather than necessarily going to zero risk.
Ramona, it sounds like that the NBA is like every other sporting event. It's got so many hurdles that they've got to get across. We love it down here in Australia. We can't wait for it to get back. And it's been a great thrill for us to have a chat with you this morning. So stay safe and thanks for joining us.
You too, guys. Hopefully it's going to be a couple months. But hopefully we'll see you in Orlando soon.
We will. Ramona Shelburne, senior writer for ESPN.com. And Wisp, as Ramona was talking, I was just keeping a close eye on what was going on in the golf. I told you that Tom Brady's been going terribly. He's just holed out on a par 5, his third shot from about 150 metres. Hit the ball past the hole, spun it back into the hole magnificently, and the sporting world has gone crazy. The text messages that are flying through from the biggest sports names. Patrick Mahomes is texting him just saying that did not happen. The GOAT's just redeemed himself, so he's back on track. It is an incredible sporting event. But from an NBA point of view, sounds to me that there's still a fair bit of work to be done.
Yeah, that's amazing how many things you can do at one time, Gary. And this has just come through from Calvin in Caulfield too. Gary not only wants to shorten games, he wants Nines, Channel 9's 60 Minutes to be renamed 45 Minutes. Is that right?
Reminder of a caller of the year can win a brand new Toyota Kaluga GX two-wheel drive. Buy your new Toyota online. Search Toyota, order and collect. The Wisp's on fire. We'll take a break.